Just sweating your asses off.
I tune in and you guys are like, oh man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 84 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend and rapper, even though he hasn't released anything just yet, Morgan Richards, also known as Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and in this episode, we're going to learn to appreciate the finer things from a band who've been around the world and back.
Yep, I'm ignoring that you've punned their song titles. This week we had the awesome Derek and Tyler from State Champs.
Yes!
We had a great time with the boys. It was super, super good to see them again. The last time we saw them was for like 10, 15 minutes in Download. And we kind of hit it off there. And yeah, it was funny, the Download one. Go back and listen if you haven't already checked it out. It's from Download last year. Obviously, there was no Download this year. Boo! Sorry. Sorry for reminding you. But yeah, they were excited to chat to us as well, which was quite nice to see.
Yeah, and of course, being one of the key figures in this generation's pop punk scene, they are actually celebrating their 10th year anniversary as a band, and we're going to be continuing the festivities with Derek and Tyler as they look back on all their incredible achievements, to even their first practice and their journey to becoming the international party band that they are today.
Yes, cracking conversation. Just before we get into it, if you've got any suggestions for guests, any ideas, any topics you'd like us to talk about with guests, even on our own, if you're interested in our opinions, and I don't see why you would be, check out twitter.com/sapninpod and instagram.com/sapninpod, or basically at SAPPENINPOD. Give us a follow, give us a like, share where possible, please tag us in stuff, and awesome.
You've changed it up a bit, Sean. I'm taken back by surprise there, but yes.
Taken back by surprise? It sounds like a new band.
Yeah, it's my Taken Back Sunday cover band, starting very soon. So at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram to keep updated with all of that. It's never going to happen. But if you're checking things out as well, why not head over to our wonderful Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin, where we have built a wonderful community full of lovely human beings, and we would love you to be another one of those incredible members.
Yes, please only apply if you are a lovely human. No bastards allowed. No. I am the only bastard, so I am King Bastard of the group.
Yeah, so we can't have any more. So that's no bastards, no dicks, no see you next Tuesdays, and no...
Whoa!
Is that
whoa,
what?
Mug.
And
whoa, that's not like you.
Really don't like Tuesdays. What did I say? Mondays are all right for me because, like, I wake up and I'm quite, like, proactive on a Monday. It's Tuesdays that lag. But yes, patreon.com/sapnin. There's loads of different tiers you can choose from with this goodies. And we're putting loads of bonus content very soon on the Patreon wall as well. So you get even more of these random rambles, shenanigans, talks between me and Sean. That's the perfect thing they want, isn't it?
I don't know, I doubt it. But also, if you hate everything he's just said, we also do the complete opposite of everything he says on our Patreon as well. So, hey, might be for you. Check it out, patreon.com/sapnin.
It's definitely the place for you. And this week as well has been quite interesting, Sean, in the world of music, because there's been a new Let the Music Play movement that's got a lot of people's attention, and it even caused you to post on your own Instagram page.
Yes, crazy, innit? What a time we're living in. Basically, the British government has put aside funds for all other sectors of our economy except live music. So we are possibly going to lose so many amazing venues, from small to big. They need to get involved and they need to do something now. So yesterday, Thursday, Let the Music Play hashtag started, where bands were posting the performances of their last shows before lockdown. So if you'd like to get involved and potentially help the UK music scene get back on its feet somehow, please hashtag Let the Music Play. Also, that's going to be a word of the week as well, hashtag Let the Music Play.
That should be, definitely. So there you go, we've had it in advance. But yeah, as Sean said, it's been really lovely to see people posted about it. It's such a, that live music scene is something that is very valuable to me and Sean over the years. Is, you know, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for it. And yeah, so hopefully all of this spreads the word a little bit more, reaches everyone in different countries and governments, and we can all get back to going to shows when it's safe to do so.
Yeah, sort it fucking out, Boris, you twat.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But on good news, State Champs, one of the biggest bands in their scene, are our guest this week on Sapling Podcast. It's such an exciting time. They have a new acoustic EP titled Unplugged that is going to be available now on August the 14th. So we're going to get into all of that, have a lovely catch up with them since our last chat at Download 2019. And there's some surprises, including chicken nuggets, that get mentioned. Not going to mention anything more about that, but get ready for some State Champs and chicken nugget goodness.
Fucking hell. Tidy. Something! Fucking chicken nugget. How do I...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Sapnin, boys.
We're back.
Yay! Yes. This week's guest. Oh, I can't get over how well I went. That's amazing. The last five of these, we've literally had other people going, what?
Yeah. No, we've got this down now. We remember.
Yes, awesome. This week's guests are Derek and Tyler from the awesome State Champs. Thank you so much, guys, for doing this.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I gotta be honest, like, when we saw that that UT wanted to do an interview again, we were like, oh, those two dudes are insane.
We're like, we remember them. Let's do that one because we're very particular. Yeah. We say no to everything. We were like, no, those guys are cool.
Oh, thank you very much. That is lovely. That is
remember
lovely.
Remember you guys being particularly funny.
Oh, well.
Oh, no pressure now then for this one.
Yeah,
so turn it on.
Yeah, how are you guys? How's lockdown treating you?
It's not too bad, honestly. Like we needed some time to like kind of just chill out and settle down, but I think now it's starting to kind of get to us. We need to get back out and do something again.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed being home. I got to spend some time with the family. You know, I started a garden, growing things for the first time in my life. Yeah, shit's tight, but you know, I definitely miss like being in a band and feeling like I'm in a band, you know, like things to do related to our career. You know, it's like without that, I'm like, oh, okay.
Fair enough. What are you growing?
Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Oh man. The cucumber plants are going crazy right now. Like we can't even keep them. We got to build this thing so they can climb up it. So I'm gonna have mad cucumbers and jalapenos and tomatoes. Those are three biggest ones.
I'm growing peach trees on my Animal Crossing island.
Well, there you go. It's something.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just about to say, you can move into like some sort of state champs, like vegetable growing business.
Yeah, man.
Selling my cucumbers on Etsy or something.
Oh, state cucumbers. No, there's something. I'll get one. By the end of this, we'll have something for that.
You can do better than that, man.
Yeah.
Oh. You could bring fresh fruit to every gig as merch, but I mean, traveling that around and...
Hey, man, we'll take anything for some traveling serotonin at this point.
That's true. But I think to start, we've got to say a massive congratulations because recently you've just been celebrating 10 years of State Champs.
Yeah.
Massive anniversary party online and everything. How has reaching that milestone been for you guys and just kind of looking back at a decade of this band?
Yeah, it's crazy. Everybody keeps asking, like, does it feel like 10 years? And it does, but it doesn't. Like, you know, I guess it kind of flew by in ways, but in other ways, we think about it when we just did that online, like variety show, we went through everything. We like reminisced on all of our old tour flyers and we had guests and friends and basically like talked about everything we've been through in our career and looking through it. We're like, holy shit, we've done a lot of shit. So, it's cool milestone. And I didn't think that it would have gone this far. I don't know if same for you, Ty, or not.
No, dude. I mean, they say time flies when you're having fun. And I think that's how we know we were and still are having fun because 10 years went by in a flash. And I definitely like have trouble like thinking about the earlier stuff and being like, that was like the same band. Cause we've gone through such a metamorphosis till now. But like, I guess like it is nice to remind yourself, like, this is what you went through. These are the things that you've done and like you've earned your spot to be here. So I think doing that variety show for me at least was good in a way.
It was a proud feeling for sure. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What moments looking back stood out for you or were you not as wary of like the first time round?
I think it was how many times we've been like around the world and stuff. Cause we kept going through like, oh, here we did another world tour. We went back to Japan here and we went back to Australia here. And we're like, how many times we've been everywhere now? It's like, it seems wild. And we're mixing up. Like, was it this time we were over here in this random country or this time? And we never thought that we would get to these places in the first place. So we're talking about like, maybe in 2013, we're like, oh, that was our first time to the UK. And we remember how exciting it was and how scared we were to fly across overseas and whatnot. And then thinking about doing it for the seventh or eighth time, maybe a couple years back, how we were just like, oh my God, we got to do this again, man.
Yeah, it's like the entire like perspective shift on it is crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, we find ways to make it exciting, more and more exciting each time, whether it's with new music or with other bands that we're excited to tour with. And there's more bucket lists and more goals that we want to achieve moving forward that it keeps us motivated. So there's all those things there that I guess lead up to why it's been 10 years and how we can only imagine what would happen if we make it another 10 years being in a band, but we'd be way too old to be in a pop punk band then. So I don't know.
Well, saying that, I mean, you still got Blink and everyone doing it, so why
That's
not?
True.
That is,
why not?
That is true.
Yeah, they're also like absolute gods of the genre, you know? Like,
Yeah, they were in the heyday in like the early 2000s. You know, you can set yourself up to be in a band like that for like 20 plus years. I guess you think about whether like a band like us can like stick and kind of bring a new generation to the radio and pop culture and stuff in this day and age. And nobody knows. You never know what can happen. So,
yeah, that's true. But on that level as well, it must be surreal when having time like this to actually look back at all those amazing achievements and just the little things you've been able to do over that time. I mean, is there anything else that really sticks out and that you just can't believe that, oh, it's been 10 years since the first time you guys practiced together, or like just little memories of things you never thought you'd get to do?
That's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like it wasn't like, obviously there's like the big achievements. Hmm. There's like the sold out tour with Neck Deep, or there's this or there's that. But a lot of it, I think what really felt nice and warm and like fuzzy about it all was like these little moments we had together, whether it was like, you know, like sharing the same experience in Jakarta for the first time, or like the first time I saw a British Pound, you know, like whatever it is, first time being annoyed that like, in Canada, they have $1 and $2 coins and not bills, you know, just things like that. It's like that. I don't think I've realized how much that has made an impact on my, just myself in general, like being well-traveled and experiencing all different types of life and culture. Like, I was just like thinking about like, oh, us going out in a foreign city, like that's crazy to me. Like most people don't like go out in Prague. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It's just like,
yeah.
It for me, it was the little moments, and it was a lot of like the inside kind of like the shit that we talk about together, but never really tell anyone else. Like we definitely had a lot of stuff edited out of that.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on the, cause you were just talking about like the first, do you remember the first time you practiced together and stuff? And thinking about that now, thinking back on it, like we used to look so forward to the one day a week that we would practice together, like just in our little practice space that we had rented out. When we all lived near each other and we could practice all the time. But for the past like 4 or 5 years now, we haven't had a single band practice since then, because we've been touring so much that our first day of tour had turned into band practice. And everyone in the band now lives in different parts of the US. So we're rarely ever together off tour. And with how much we tour now, I think we kind of value that off time away from each other because of how much time we spent living together on a little bus. So it's just those different perspectives, I guess, of how we look forward to things in the band now, but it's also ways that keep us sane too, you know.
Nice. Was there a moment looking back when you kind of realized, you were like, oh, well, that's the moment we became state champs, as in the touring big act then? Like, was there a moment where you were like, ah, oh, there we are, that's the bit we can see where we became the touring band then after?
I would say maybe when we started doing our own headline tours overseas, like in the UK, or like, I mean, we talk about one of our biggest achievements, biggest shows we've ever done as a headliner, as a state champ show, was at the Roundhouse a couple of years back when we did London.
Nice.
It was our biggest headline show we've ever done. And we talked about it on our variety show too. We weren't really prepared to be bigger in the UK than we were in the US. And it still seems very weird and odd to us, but like, we love that because now we get to go there even more.
Yeah, I don't know, like definitely the headline stuff, because kind of like what Derek just said on the last question, you know, we constantly reset goals and we recenter and refocus. So it's like we would go do a headline tour. Like I remember the one with Knuckle Puck in Rome, like we did like some pretty cool stuff. I think that was the one where we did like that venue in Kingston, like Hippodrome maybe.
Oh yeah.
And like, that place was crazy. It was like a big ass nightclub.
Yeah.
And like we did the business there and there was like almost 1,000 people there. And like the week before we were in London and we had 1,000 people there. And it's like, that was really awesome. At that time, I was like, we're the fucking shit, man. It's awesome. but then we're always like, how can we do it better?
There were scales to it, because we've done so many different sized venues and built up the ladder going from like, remember the first headline show we ever did in the UK was in London, that the little hotel, what was it called?
The Old Blue Last.
Old Blue Last. Like, ooh, we did a tiny, tiny show there. It's like our first headline show. And then building up, going from like that Hippodrome place to like form Kentish Town, you know, and then kind of like setting those other goals and filling up new rooms. It's exciting, you know, and it's still exciting.
I never really like felt like the man though. Like I always used to get really nervous about headline stuff. Like 2015, 2016, I was like constantly checking tickets and just obsessing and going crazy. But I think the time that we sold out the Forum, I was like, all right, like I can put faith in the touring business. I don't have to be so neurotic. Like we do the business.
You're like,
we
I'm are the shit now.
A touring band. Yeah. Like I like maybe I could enjoy this instead of like freaking out about this all the time.
And I guess maybe that's where like ego comes into play, but well balanced, you know?
Oh, I mean, it goes without saying you don't become successful in this without a little bit of ego. Like
our band name is State Champs, man.
I definitely think we're humble to a degree, but you can't get ahead in any business without at least believing in yourself.
Yeah.
Healthy ego is healthy.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about that earlier, funnily enough. I was thinking about how, like, two of the projects I've done, like this podcast now and before this, a band I was in. I was thinking to myself earlier, there were two things that I when I started them, I didn't care what other people thought. I just was like, oh, I'll just start these and see what happens. And then, you know, luckily for me, both of them did surprisingly well. and here we are. So, yeah, it's crazy just... years later for everything to have just moved and it's not like sort of I don't know what I'm trying to say now.
No, I get what you mean where it's like sometimes you don't take it too seriously and there's a and that's kind of what makes it special, like when it's a little more organic and stress-free, and then obviously you start to think about it more when there's success and there's a little bit more pressure and people are and expectations, I guess, but it's how you manage those and kind of keep your head level with like thinking about how you felt about it when it first started, right? Like, oh, we need to just have fun and like do what we do. This is our shit, you know? And everything else will come from there. If you start thinking about it, getting in your head too much, you're fucked, you know?
Yeah. Good thinking. Yeah. I never looked at it like that.
Yeah. It's just taken a lot for us to get to that point. I think like definitely felt pressure on the second record and the third record, but this time around, speaking for myself, I feel like I finally had the confidence just to make the shit we want to make. And we used to work with people that people wanted us to work with. Now we work with the people we want to work with. You know, it's not suggestions coming from all sides. It's suggestions coming from us. Because I think we finally realized after 10 years, like, we know what's best for us and we always will.
Hell yeah, Ty.
Speaking of, working with people, how did the Simple Plan and We the Kings collaboration come about?
Yeah.
Simple Plan just approached us. We thought we were done touring at the end of last year. We wanted to go home and chill out. And we got hit up by them. I've loved Simple Plan for so long. They were one of my favorite bands in like middle school. They asked, do you want to go on tour? And then we want to do this whole collaboration, get in the room and write a song together, record it, maybe perform it on the tour. We're like, hell yeah, let's do it. So, I mean, I flew out to LA and we spent 3 days in the studio, one day writing the song and the next 2 days recording the song. And we had like no ideas really. The only thing that, Pierre, their singer had, he was like, I've got this one thing that I keep saying, like, this is where I belong. Should be fast and moshy. But like, it didn't really turn out as like heavy as we wanted it to be. Cause I mean, it's Simple Plan and State Champs creating a song. But it was a really cool experience, you know, working with, a band that I was influenced by for so long. And they were really, really cool and helpful throughout it too. I learned a lot from them. And then we went out on the road and we're performing it. We filmed a music video throughout the whole tour that came out really cool. And the tour was a blast. We had such a good time. We the Kings being a part of it too is another like kind of pioneer of the Warped Tour age and stuff too. It was a really cool time.
Yeah, we were talking beforehand and we were saying it's kind of like, it's almost like three generations of like,
it is
of like the pop punk, Simple Plan, then We the Kings, and
we're like the grandchildren of that.
It's just really special to be like a part of their history, you know, like Derek said, heavily influenced by them growing up, one of my favorite bands, and you know, we have a fucking song together on Spotify. Like that is some shit that I never ever thought would happen, and it's something that'll never go away. And that's really cool.
And that generational thing like went into play like behind the scenes on the tour, like, you know, they would call us like, you know, preteens and we would just call them old ass men, you know, like there was jokes flying around all the time. But it's funny how motivated and hardworking a band like that is, knowing how long they've done it. Simple Plan still like grinds it out and like loves what they do every second of it. All of like engaging with the fans and their online presence and their VIP stuff and how grateful they are to still be doing it and being Simple Plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, they're honestly like you, I mean, you could expect anything touring with like a legend, right? And like, they're like one bus band, like tight-knit crew, treat everyone really good. Like, I don't know, it's just nice and refreshing, because sometimes you run into issues with that with other, like, bigger artists.
Yeah, and I feel like not a lot of bands really have that, like, a massive collaboration feel anymore. It's really cool to see, on the listener's point of view, that, you know, three bands that might have influenced someone growing up in different stages of their life can all come together and create this thing and all have a good time.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we're open to that. We've always been, like, open to collaborating with anybody. But when someone like that, who's, like, you know, someone we look up to, comes in at it, it was a very easy, like, all right, yeah, we'll go on tour again. We'll make a song with you guys. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I suppose it's quite nice as well to see a big band like Simple Plan, who have been doing it for years, not have an ego to be like, well, no, we're not going to collaborate with any of these young bastards coming in trying to take our spot.
And especially, they asked us to co-headline the tour. Like, we were both the headliners of the, I mean, they would play last, which is, like, of course you're going to play last, but I mean, we were both top billing, and, like, it was a co-headline tour, which, like, we were thrown off by too. We're like, oh,
like, yeah, like, selling signed posters with both of our signatures on it, like, sharing the same lights. We're like, whoa, geez, fucking we're crazy. Like,
you sure this is what this is, like, a thing that's supposed to happen? It's like, you know, you guys were like my, like, seventh grade alarm clock in my portable CD player.
Yeah, it's crazy. Have you got to meet many of your other heroes, and have they all been nice, like Mai Nav, when I've met them?
I mean, a lot of bands that we've toured with, like, you find out how genuine and normal they are, like, when maybe your expectations are, like, your platform that you put them on as a kid.
Yeah.
Whether it's,
this dude's so cool. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna have so much fun with him on the tour. And he, like, talks to you twice and you're like, I mean, I get it. He's got stuff to do.
Yeah. but then you think the same way about people, you know, whether it's, Alex Gasgarth or Mark Hoppus or something like that, and then you meet them and you realize how, like, normal, like, punk rock dudes they are, and they just want to hang out and be normal and, like, shed you know, have a good time with you, and, like, you learn from that about, like, man, how can I want to keep that same level head and be as excited about doing this when I get to that point as well, you know. So I would say, looking up to that when we first started, someone like Alex Gasgarth, for example, is just, like, a very cool, level-headed person who's down to have a good time and make good music and play good music, you know?
Yeah. It seems to be the majority of the bigger bands who have been touring, they just know what it's like. So I think that after a while, some of them, even though they might have been dickheads early on, they kind of grow to be accepting and to be nicer. Because I met Pharrell once, and he literally changed my aspect and my opinion on how to treat people.
I feel he's kind of like super chill, but still, like, showtime all the time. Like, I don't know, is that, yeah. Or how was he?
Yeah, he was nice.
Does he have a smooth, buttery talking voice?
Oh yeah, and face and complexion.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, basically, yeah. My old band, we played a Project Revolution show with Linkin Park, him, NERD, and The Used. And I watched NERD. Always been a big fan of NERD. Watched them play from, like, the security barrier at the front.
Yeah.
And then ended up going on stage and dancing with them or whatever, when Pharrell sent his security guard. He sent the biggest security guard I've ever seen in my life down to the front of the stage. And his voice was, hey, do you guys want to get on stage with Pharrell? And I was like,
come from this big guy.
Didn't come out of that giant man, did it? And so watched the show. They were unbelievable. One of the best party bands I've ever seen in my life. So we were in a dressing room, and Pharrell walked past, and I was just like, you know, your standard, oh, good show. And he stopped in his tracks and he went, what, really? Like, what, you really enjoyed that? And I was like, yeah, that was awesome. And he was like, I didn't think anybody, like, into rock would. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, different genre. I didn't think that you'd like it. And he ended up being so, so nice that it made me become a nicer person, because I was like, I could have said good show. And if he told me to fuck off to my face, I would have gone, yeah, fair enough.
That's like, all right, word. Yeah. No, see, that's cool. Especially because he, you know, took the time and, like, actually was surprised by something like that. And he doesn't have to give a fuck, like, at all.
Yeah, not at
that's
all.
That's cool. It's that stuff that brings Breck down to ground zero about that, you know?
Yeah, completely. Because, yeah, before that, I think I was getting a little bit big-headed. And then, I met Pharrell, and I was like, well, if he's absolutely delightful, why am I a knob?
I was just going to say, yeah, I feel like you get impacted by someone like Pharrell, and then you pass it down to someone. I feel like it's this beautiful, like you may have been a dickhead at one point, but then you're humbled by someone that you respect. And then you come back down to earth and then you pass that along. Because, I mean, I definitely used to be a dickhead. And I think I've been humbled a lot in my life. And I think I'm much nicer now than I was before.
Yeah.
To other people, of course.
And I don't think I ever put myself on a level to where anything I say or tell maybe a younger band would actually affect them or that they would ever care until, I guess, a little bit more recently when we get to start to take out these newer, younger, exciting bands that we're excited about that we genuinely like to listen to and watch, you know? And then we like end up getting to making new friendship with these dudes and realizing that this may be in the slightest bit impacting their knowledge of like being on the road and being in a band and stuff. And that starts to make you feel even better about it too. And and humbles you a little bit more. So trying to
there's like one, like, well, I think about one thing that sticks out in your mind, like the way we were greeted on the All Time Low tour in 2015, bottle of champagne in the dressing room.
Nice.
Now that tiny act has stood out to us since then.
Yeah.
And we aim to do that with other bands. Now it's like, hey, welcome to the tour. Like we're going to have fun together. Instead of like other tours you go on when you don't even talk to
you don't even meet the headliner, maybe the whole tour or at one time, you know.
There's subtle things that we have taken from other groups that have made us feel more welcome and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's just this beautiful little cycle,
circle of life in the scene.
With that though, is there any kind of those like little traditions and stuff that you've seen from these other bands now that you would kind of give as advice to like younger bands coming up or really how they should treat tours or look to really present themselves?
I mean, there's a lot of unwritten laws, I guess, in touring, but that's a little more stricter. Like, I don't like to think about like the rules of it. I think about more of the fun stuff, you know, like All Time Low used to have an alarm that would go off backstage. That means everyone report to the Flip Cup room and we're playing Flip Cup, you know, like, and that's stuff that I want to like steal from them, but that's their thing, you know, like, but you pick up from those things where it's like, all right, everybody, we're going out like to all the bands or whatever, like little fun things or playing little games. We do a tour superlative awards after every headline tour that we do. We give every single band member and crew member an award, and it's mainly just making fun of them, like most likely to whatever. And we don't like to ever make them public and tell people their awards, okay. But it's our little gist that we do every tour where we give out tour awards to every single person. And it gives everyone on the tour, whether it's a band member, crew member, a bit of a platform and like, a purpose, if you will.
Yeah. It's like the only time on the tour, it's usually on the last day too, that every single person is in the same room because everyone's always working. And we also usually assign like whatever band we're closest with, like the duty to roast us.
Yeah.
You get the opportunity to come for the headliner, you know, like whatever.
Like, and some bands are scared and they don't go that hard. They make it a little more of an actual award. But then we've had some bands that really come for our throats. Like,
we
had that built up in you. But that brings us closer ultimately at the end of the tour. You know, that's what creates those memories, creates those friendships and stuff that when we go and see them again, whether it be a year or two later, we talk about it. We're like, remember when you got us on that tour, man? You roasted us. That's what we like to do.
Is there any that stick in your mind of terrible roasts you've had or anything that was said to you that you were like, oh, that was too deep and we'll never do it again?
I don't know. We've made a pact that we weren't going to ever share them. So,
I definitely got one that I don't mind sharing.
Okay,
it wasn't too horrible, but like, I think it was when we were in Europe with Stan Atlantic and they wrote ours.
Uh-huh.
And I had just started dating my girlfriend, so we're spending a lot of time on the phone and stuff like that. And they gave me the "We get it, you have a girlfriend" award.
Okay, See, that's a perfect example of like that. Those are the types of awards you get.
So I took it and I said, "I do,
I do have a girlfriend. I love her. I'm gonna go call her now."
You just take it on the chin and you walk away. But
yeah,
I think you were asking before this, like any advice for younger bands going into tours, and like the one thing I wish that I let us do more. I used to be very like I used to be our like tour manager, and I used to be like Derek had to like tell me to stop doing it. He's like, you're not being my friend right now. You're being,
yeah,
you're
I was being losing my friend Ty, and he was more of my boss or my babysitter, and that was not working right out anymore.
So one thing I definitely would tell my younger self would be like, let the band hang out more. Like, it's okay if you're going to miss out on like an hour or two of sleep or whatever it is, but like hang out with people. Don't be like the band that, because we've toured with a couple of bands that are like, oh, we got to leave, it's a long drive. And they're like so anxious to like go. And then they just miss out on so much. Like, this industry is built on who you know. So just stay around and just network and be cool and don't fucking suck. Just don't be lame.
that's good advice generally, I suppose. Yeah. So, but really speaking about the evolution of State Champs and everything as well, of course, you've just now announced that you're going to be releasing another acoustic EP titled Unplugged on August the 14th. 6 songs, 4 complete new ones and 2 acoustic renditions. The acoustic element has always been one that's really been popular and quite touching with your fan base over the years, and this is something you've actually wanted to revisit for quite some time now.
Yeah, we've been wanting to, and the fans nonstop. It's always like, how do we get more acoustic stuff? We're like, really, man? I thought like you wanted us to bring the heat. but we did our first acoustic EP, The Acoustic Things, and I think that was about 5 years ago now. And that went over so well, and it brings up these more opportunities to do these small, more intimate shows, little like broken down sets by State Champs. It brings a different energy, totally different energy to us. And it's fun, though, and it engages with the fans so much. We knew we wanted to do it again, but we didn't know when. And we thought that this time would actually be a perfect time to do something like that again. So we got in the studio, wrote 4 brand new songs that we're really excited about, and finally got to put one of them out when we did our anniversary show the other night. The music video is out for our song Crying Out Loud now. And we also released the acoustic rendition of our song Criminal that was on our last album. So now we've got the ball rolling, and it's just such a good feeling to finally have some new music out, especially in a time like this. It's a nice breath of fresh air. It's refreshing, you know?
Yeah. It must be, for me, it's always been lovely to see that kind of other side to State Champs with the acoustic things as well. Because as you said, some fans have been like desperate for another release like this since the acoustic things. Is it just kind of cool to be able to showcase that you can have all these different influences and that you can strip everything back and write songs that maybe wouldn't necessarily go on a State Champs album?
Absolutely. I spoke about this. Derek, who were you talking to? A friend we were talking to, but like, I think that's like the coolest part about the acoustic record is like, we can show you that we can be like delicate or sensitive, but there's this one song called 10 AM and it's actually like really, the lyrics are depressing. Hi, baby. Sorry, invasion. But like, it feels really fun and it feels like kind of like almost summer jammy in a way. It's like a nice like driving song.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Cause these songs, they're not like pop punk songs. This is the time where we get in a room and we don't think about pop punk. We don't really necessarily even think about let's write a State Champ song. We just think let's write songs that we enjoy, that we think are cool. We take in so much different influences. We listen to country music and we listen to heavy music and we listen to electronic music. So we take all these little elements and we just made these songs that ended up being our Unplugged EP, and it made us think of ourselves as more like songwriters of anything else, not necessarily like band guys or pop punk dudes or whatever. Sure enough, people listen to these and go, oh, this is such good pop punk acoustic. It's just because I'm singing on it and it's a State Champ song, so they think about that, I guess. But like, we're just excited to write genuine songs that like mean something to us, that are that we're proud of, you know, that we don't care if it has like an edge or like an aggression of pop punk to it, and we just want them to be solid songs.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say like that's how the process went, because for me, like, I've always seen State Champs, even though as a band, like, even though you're very proud of your pop punk roots, that you're always trying to be creative and get the ball rolling with other things, think outside of the box, and trying to really, it's not just become another generic band in that kind of seeing, if that makes sense. So it's interesting to see that when songwriting for these kind of things, that you're not necessarily thinking if it fits a box or what really it should be.
We started getting rid of the box a while ago. I think on Living Proof, we were just like, fuck the box. Like we have some different tracks and some were more well received than others. And that's fine. Cause like, we still give you like the bulk of the record will always be something that is a familiar, let's say, product, but we're always going to like push the boundaries on a couple. Like if we do Time Machine or Breaking Ground from Around the World and Back, like different style songs, because we're not just this like linear person. We're not just like 18-year-old pop punk kids anymore. We're not really that angry anymore. You know, like I don't know. It's like, it's hard for us, for people who want that original sound, like you're just not going to get it because that's not who we are anymore.
Yeah. And the genre thing is just more and more becoming not a thing anymore.
It's obsolete.
And it's a great feeling for us to not have to worry about being pigeonholed into being like, that is pop punk, you know, we've always said we'd rather even just get rid of the pop punk genre name attached to us and call ourselves a rock band or a pop rock band, because it opens a little bit more doors and it leaves it a little bit more broad for us to do the things that we want to do and give us the opportunities that we want. So we're not worried
about bands that are like mislabeled. Like you think about like Jimmy Eat World. Mm. Why do people call them pop punk? They're not a pop punk band. No. They are not a pop punk band by any fucking stretch of the imagination. Completely. Why? Because the middle was played on like
Ty really cares about video this. Shows.
I'm with him. Jimmy,
I think it's crazy.
Jimmy World, my second favorite band of all time. So I completely agree with you on this.
Hats off to you, man. Yeah, it's stupid. So like everyone's just fucking obsessed with like, oh man, fuck, this isn't pop punk or this is pop punk. It's like, why do you care? Do you like the way it sounds?
Yeah.
You do? Then you like it. Who cares what it's called?
Yeah. By the way, what's your first favorite band then?
Taking Back Sunday.
Okay.
Just the emo vibes.
They're hardly a pop punk band. Like,
yeah, yeah. But then that's where people will be like, are you kidding me? That is pop punk.
Yeah,
like,
but see, then we've talked about this and we've had them on and we were saying about the word emo, because then I think a lot of people consider them as one of those emo bands with like The Used and
right.
So yeah. But yeah, I mean, again, you can have so many arguments about what genre is what.
Yeah,
I mean,
people with the emo thing, people get way more particular and try to like flip a 180 on you and go, well, what about American football and like all that stuff.
What about Midwest emo, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
Do you think the writing and recording of the new acoustic stuff will play a part in the future of State Champs? Do you think the songs you've written for this EP sound like potential future releases as well?
I think maybe. I think it kind of just broadened our minds to the fact that, like, don't be afraid to, whether it's an acoustic EP where, you know, we had a little bit more freedom, but I think that'll open up to the full band stuff where it's like, let's just get in the room and like, and go for it and be excited and write stuff that we're stoked on, stuff that we wouldn't put out unless we wanted to put on repeat and we wanted to listen to ourselves. But I think after doing some of this acoustic stuff, we're excited to now like bring the energy a little bit more and kind of get back in the room and kind of like be loud and like have some a little bit more champsiness to us, I guess, if you will. Yeah, I think we're excited to bring back our roots a little bit, right, Ty?
I was gonna say, I think that coming off like the high of like you just said, like we are now like viewing ourselves not so much as like a pop punk band, but as people who write songs, right? Songwriters. And I think we're taking that energy and putting it into, oddly enough, pop punk songs. Uh-huh. And we're making like,
we're kind of like,
from what we have so far,
we're kind of being hypocritical now.
We're reverse engineering. No, because they're still fucking solid songs, but they're not built on the same foundation as we have to be this thing. They have found their way to, because there's also songs that aren't anything, like they're not pop punk at all. There's some songs that are more alternative and some songs that are more rocky, but there's some that are like, you know, shit that maybe we should have written all along, but we were too obsessed with the fucking titles and shit. That's what I'm saying. We're free men.
Yeah, we're knocking down boundaries now. But you know, I guess we have moods sometimes. Sometimes we're like, let's just write a nice soft like ballad today, and other days we're like, let's go and like double time and like bring a circle pit song. So
breakdowns everywhere.
Yeah, but I guess that's what makes it cool, is like, some days we want to do one thing, some days we want to do other things, and there's no right or wrong way. There's no formula to the way that we write songs. There shouldn't be a formula to the way anybody writes songs, as long as you're happy with it and you're set on something and proud of it in the end, right?
Yeah. How do you guys write songs? does somebody just come with like a riff or an idea, or does somebody come with a whole song? Or
I think it can start from either like a riff, like you said, and stuff gets thrown around in group chats that we have, whether it's voice memos or stuff, or when we set aside time also to travel somewhere and meet up together, we just get in the room and sit with acoustic guitars until we flesh out like maybe an instrumental structure, like a little skeleton of a song that we're proud of, and then I'll kind of sit with it, start putting some lyrics to it, maybe a top line, a chorus idea or something. Then I'll bring it to Ty or to Ryan, and they're like my editors, because Ryan has a degree in English and Ty is just like has better grammar than me too. So they're like, this doesn't make sense at all, bro. Like, let's do like, hold on, or you need to scrap all of that because this is all a big run-on sentence, like stuff like that. So it's a cool collaboration to get the lyrics right and the concept of the song right. And we learn a lot about what the song is really going to mean throughout the process of writing it. You know, it's never like, this is what the song is about and this is what it means from the get-go. It's always like, here's what I think a cool idea is. And then when we get done with it, we're like,
general concept.
Now it means something totally different. So, and that goes along with,
which is cool.
Yeah, go ahead, Ty.
It's, I mean, I've been exploring talk therapy in my off time, and it's almost like that. Like, you start with this general idea, like, I feel X or I feel whatever. And then you start refining it as you go. And that's kind of what happens in our songs now, is like these like refinements of like we're diving deeper into that subject. Like, you might feel this way about, like, let's say a girl. Okay. Like, why do you feel that way? And like, we're getting deeper and deeper. And I think that's why we come out with this product at the end that's different than it was at the start, because we're diving in more. And I think that's really good, because we're asking questions throughout the process. We're like, well, what did this person do? Or how did it make me feel? Like, what are we trying to convey? So I think that it actually is therapeutic, because it's a lot like therapy.
It definitely can be. Yeah. I mean, in some ways with me, like, you know, I don't do a lot of that, like the stuff that you're doing, talk therapy and stuff. This kind of is my therapy, is writing songs and finally getting out any sort of bit of emotion that I have is through the lyrics and stuff and learning about myself, which is good.
Hmm. Tyler, what made you interested in checking out talk therapy?
I'm very aware that I'm not a perfect person. I spent a long time living with things that I didn't necessarily want to, like certain anxieties, or I get frustrated easily, things like that. So I explored medicine, and I'm currently on some SSRIs, and it's great. I feel better. And then my doctor was like, hey, you should try talk therapy, because I have certain like triggers, or, you know, whatever. Pretty much everyone has like something that they need to talk about. So I see this person over, I actually have an appointment in 45 minutes. So got to wrap this up soon, boys.
Shut the fuck up, boys. I gotta go.
But at first I was like pretty scared to do it, but I wound up just really enjoying it, because it's just nice to, you know, firstly feel validated that you're not crazy. Cause we spend a lot of our time convincing ourselves like, nah, like that's not real. You're making that up. Like, stop. And then secondly, like figuring out how to deal with those emotions and what to do with them. I think that's a big thing for me, is like, I experience all these emotions and I feel them, but what do I do with them? Where do they go? So you got to take actionable steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's good to hear that you've taken the steps, and yeah, you had the bravery to go. I think a lot of people don't realize that first step to go and you know, and get involved is such a massive step.
Yeah, it takes a lot.
The sooner it's done, the better as well, I think.
Yeah, it's a huge step, and it's like, it's one that's so scary for everyone to take, and you like, you think about it too much, like, this is all based in overthinking. That's like the core of like anxiety. But now that I go, I'm mad I didn't go sooner. And I'm like recommending it to everyone I talk to. I'm like, you should try therapy, man. It's great. Try this shit, dude.
But that's good though. You should preach that, you know. I would have never thought of that, but it makes me think about it. It's like, damn, like Ty's doing great. Feels really good. Looks great. Like, I guess everybody needs good, this shit, dude.
Yeah, it's a healthy thing. I mean, it's self-care just like anything else. I think we preach a lot of self-care stuff, but I mean, I also felt hypocritical in that regard. Like, we preach self-care. We tell our fans to take care of themselves, you know, like we support them in their, in hard moments and things like that. But we don't really like do any of that ourselves, you know? So I felt, at least for myself, I felt pretty hypocritical. So I felt like it was time to take control of my shit, and I'm glad that I did. And anyone listening, like, just straight up, just do it. Like, I can't really say anything else. Just go book a session. I do it online. I do it over fucking like a camera, doctorondemand.com. Like, let's go get in there.
Awesome.
Sort your shit out. Stop fucking projecting your shit on other people. Don't be a dick.
Again, great advice. Great advice.
Yes. Awesome.
Got you guys.
So we won't keep you too long now. But one couple of quick things I did want to mention is you said about Crying Out Loud being released now. It's had some great reviews and stuff, and people just reacting to it very emotionally. But I did see one comment that you shared online, and I've got to mention it because I love random things like this. It's the fact that someone actually compared this song, saying that it sounds like chicken nuggets taste.
I thought that was so funny, man. It got put in a group chat of ours.
That's brilliant. I mean, out of everything, of course, you don't pay too much attention to comments and mentions and everything like that. But when you do see something as creative as that, is it a nice little like, oh, well, we all like chicken nuggets, so the song's got to be pretty good.
I'm not really one to kind of go through like comments like that. And like, cause I don't like, I mean, that stuff can easily get you in your head or put you down. And I realized I posted like the YouTube comment above under the video, and I realized, oh, that probably makes people think that I like go like skimming through all the comments. It just got put in our group chat, so I wanted to share it because I think that's funny. And that's one thing that I think anybody can hope for, is you have someone say that your song sounds like how a chicken nugget tastes, because everybody loves fucking like, chicken nuggets, dude.
I'm thinking about a 10 piece with some barbecue sauce, man.
But the thing is that's just absolutely genius advertising for the future, because now, because I haven't got a clue what does that cost. Like, I had to mime trying to eat a chicken nugget to remember what a chicken nugget was like to see how a song would be, right? There's nothing now that makes me want to go and check that song out more than the fact that it apparently sounds like a chicken. What does that mean?
Well, you know,
it's genius.
You know how you see a trailer of a movie, and during it you've got all the 5-star publications and their ratings, and they've got, this is an emotional roller coaster masterpiece, and blah, blah, blah. You can only wish that someone would give it to you straight and put, sounds like how a chicken nugget tastes, X person, boom. And that's the only one you need.
You should have that on the artwork of the single.
Yeah.
You should have had that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a chicken nugget tastes.
Yeah. I think that'll feed into some bad behavior. Fans will start commenting fucking crazy shit.
They'll start to get a little too creative with those.
But that's true.
That was one that stuck out to me. I had to share it with the world.
Oh, that's genius. That might be the best review of any song I've ever heard, ever.
So good.
And with all that, of course, you've been pretty creative in lockdown already with the 10th anniversary and getting everything ready for that. But have you all been working on new music individually as well for the next State Champs release when all this is over?
Yeah, we definitely have. That's the next thing for us, is finding the right time when it's okay to all get together and get in the studio. But in the meantime, since we all live in different parts of the U.S., we've been nonstop like sketching out ideas, skeletons of songs, one-liners, and voice memos are being thrown around, because it's time to think about our next album, LP4. And I think we're going to finally be able to get in the studio and start cracking at it next month in July. So it's time for a new era and a new chapter of Champs. So we're really excited about it.
Nice.
Is every song going to be a different item from the McDonald's menu?
I hope so, dude.
Are they all going to be nuggets?
A different dipping sauce.
This one's the Big Mac song. This one's a little bit more freaky. It's like the fish fillet song.
If you go, it's the chunky double quarter pounder.
Yeah, dude. But I mean, actually, there is some meaning to that, because we've been working with talking to a lot of other people, like working with talking to other producers, and we're not afraid to mix it up now that with our last album, we kind of split it up between different studios, different producers. We're not afraid to do that again this time around, work with other people, write with other people, see what different kinds of ourselves and what kinds of Champ songs we can get out of it. And we're going to write and record as many songs as we can, and then pick the ones that we like for the album at the end. That's what we felt like was good about our last album, is we ended up with like 18, 19 songs and then had to refine it down to the 12 that ended up being the album. And I think the more swings you take at it, the only better your album's going to get. So, I mean, we're, like I said, we're not afraid to do that again.
Have you already got producers in mind?
We've got a few. I don't know when we can talk about it, though.
I have no idea.
We'll ask Ailey.
You almost got us.
Yeah. but is there anything... Is there anything people can expect still to come with the 10th year anniversary? Any like little extra celebrations planned out along the way or anything?
Yeah, we've got so much old, like cool footage that we were filming, like behind the scenes on tour and stuff, and like a lot of extra content that we didn't get to put out because our 10-year anniversary show ended up being what, like 2.5 hours, Ty. So we've got a lot more shit to put out. Yeah, everyone can expect more like old studio footage, old tour footage and stuff, like and we're just going to try and keep up with content because I think it right now is the most important time to be engaging with fans and making everyone remember that you're still an existing band, that music still exists. So we've been doing our best to like kind of just talk and reply to stuff. And we've got this thing now where our fans can text us directly. Like we have a phone number that's direct to the band now.
So yeah, I did see that. How's that gone?
It's overwhelming, but it's really, really fun. You know, like normally, you know, people get like stuck on Twitter and Instagram, like with like, I hope you reply to this and blah, blah, blah. And there's so much of that. And it works good in our case too, as a band, like trying to blast out spam emails or whatever that you normally do. And people don't ever give a fuck about a spam email, but what they do give a fuck about is a text straight to your phone that you always look at. So it's become a cool way to like let people know that there's cool bonus stuff coming out or new music, new tours, new merch and stuff. And we can just like send funny selfies or videos and like talk one-on-one with fans. It's a cool thing.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's real cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking the time to have a catch-up. It's been lovely speaking to you again.
Absolutely.
Really excited for this, the Unplugged EP to come out now and, yeah, see what's still left in store for the 10th year anniversary.
We'll see what's happening.
Lovely.
We'll see what's happening.
Full circle. Yes!
Yeah, baby.
Yes! And that's why we love State Champs. Thank you so much, boys, for doing this. And
hey, thanks, guys.
Hopefully we'll get to do one of these in the flesh next time you're over.
Oh, yes,
please. So, we'll be back soon enough. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you.
Later. You're listening
to Sappy Podcast! Yes!
No, I'm joking. Yes, also. Awesome. Absolutely awesome to have Derek and Tyler on the podcast again. Absolutely lovely boys. I don't know why, but every time we go to do a podcast with someone who we've previously done one before with, who I didn't know, I expect them to forget them. I expect them to forget us. Or as soon as we come on the camera, them go, oh, no, these pricks. But we had the complete opposite with these guys, and they seemed genuinely excited to talk to us, and we had a great laugh. So thank you again to Derek and Tyler from State Champs. Thank you to State Champs for the music, and thank you to Hayley Connolly for sorting it out.
Yes, the PR princess. We love you very, very much. Thanks, Hayley, for always sticking with us. But no, as you said, it's great to catch up again with them. We mentioned they featured on our Download Festival 2019 episode. Go back and listen to that if you haven't. And we had a great chat. We hicked her off with them, and they absolutely were ready this time around with their satnins and everything as well. So yeah, very excited now about this acoustic EP titled Unplugged. Come out on August the 14th. There's also pre-orders available on the website, so go and check that out. And yeah, love State Champs. The band I've listened to for many years. Got some great memories of going to their gigs and stuff and meeting friends and having a giant laugh. So lovely, lovely stuff all around.
Yes, lovely boys. We've said lovely too much, I've noticed, though.
We have, but they are. Well, I could say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, if that's...
No, you know. You can't, though, can you? Do it again, but slower.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is simply quite atrocious.
I know somebody now in the Patreon group, right? listen back to that, right? And phonetically spell out what he just said, because it's not supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
What did I say then?
Oh, I don't know. You're going to have to listen back. Well, you were way off. I love it.
But see, so like, bit of a left turn here, but for people who are not aware, I'm a big fan of the Manchester United Football Club. Not recently, but over the last couple of years, we had a player called Wee. I don't have anything to do with the team, just support.
You've never played for him. You've never bought a player for him. You've never been involved with financial decisions of the club.
I have a season ticket. So that's it. But anyway, there was a player called Marouane Fellaini. So he did used to sing Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Fellaini.
Oh, so that's how you fucked it up.
Maybe, what, I don't know.
What?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Yeah, that's what
it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Even though the sound of it is simply quite
Yeah. Don't just do the... don't finish the line. Say the word correctly.
Well, I don't see a difference between what I said and what you said, John. So...
well, there's a massive difference. No, this is an opinion, right? I saw somebody post earlier going, oh, I'd rather things weren't fact-checked and I could make my opinion up if it was a fact. I can make my own mind up as a fact. I was like, that's not how facts work.
Okay, no, right? I agree with that. That's not how facts work and you should fact-check everything, but...
you think you said the exact same thing I did. Bullshit. Okay. Bullshit.
Well...
bullshit.
The listeners can decide. And tell you, do you know what? They can let us know at Sapman Pod on Twitter and Instagram if I said that words correct or messed it up completely.
I don't know what happened then. I felt like you might have had a stroke mid-sentence. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, we can have whatever Morgan said, maybe on a t-shirt. So when we work out what he said and how it might be spelt... we might have a new merch design. But saying that, I've been saying merch design for months and we've still haven't fucking done anything. So
yeah, but would that t-shirt include me dressed as Mary Poppins on the shirt?
Well, it wasn't going to, but now it definitely will. I'm going to superimpose you ahead on Mary Poppins' noggin. And then, yeah, put you on the front of a t-shirt with an umbrella up in the air. Ooh. With super camping ninja-tastic or whatever you said. I have no idea what
that's
you said.
But. But we should actually get some new merch out. I hear people like merchandise. So, yeah, again,
apparently they do.
Sapning Pods on Twitter, Instagram. Let us know if you want some more Sapning merch. We did a t-shirt when it started and then we haven't done anything since.
No, we did have that massive in dispute with Big Cartel as well, didn't we? So that's enough to put you off ever wanting to do merch ever again. But yeah, check it out. Go to at Sapning Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Send us t-shirt design ideas. You can send us designs if you want. This sounds like I'm trying to ask for free design. But I mean, design ideas, anything we've said that you think that could be funny. I'd love to do You're Like Me, You Are, But I'm Like That from the episode we did with Moose. But that is his intellectual property, even though he doesn't remember ever saying it.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Collaboration? Kill the lights? I don't know. We'll think of something. But yes, let us know. But before you do, I want to know how you are doing, Sean, because people will obviously be aware that the place you live, which is Merthyr Tydfil in South Wales, UK, has had a new outbreak of the old pandemic virus. So
yes, COVID-19 is throbbing in Merthyr Tydfil, apparently. This week, apparently, we had 97 new cases. And they've all seemed to have been at the meat factory. So I think now more than ever, we should look into probably trying to go vegan, because all the big outbreaks in Wales lately have been in meat factories.
Oh.
So that's weird and horrible. But yeah, I might be locked in Merthyr forever. They might lock down just Merthyr, which they should have done about 1976, I think. But we have been allowed out. So... if you've ever seen The Blackout and been massively disappointed by The Blackout or Raiders or anything I've been involved with, please blame the government for not locking Merthyr down earlier. But yeah, as you said, I might be trapped here now till either we're all dead or it goes away somehow.
Hopefully it does, because, you know, I'm getting fed up with this virus now. Yeah. So if you listen to this, work on finding a vaccine or a cure.
Yeah, I tell you what. Oh, guys, instead of fucking wasting your time listening to other people's podcasts, listen to this one, because it's the most informant one and the best one, obviously. We don't just talk bollocks and waffle on for ages and say words wrong, right? stop wasting your time listening to other people's podcasts and sort out a cure ASAP. Like,
yes.
Surely we've got one of our listeners is clever enough to come up with a cure of this. So yeah. Sort it out. I need to get out of Merthyr in the next fortnight.
Or at second best, convince Robert Smith from The Cure to be a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll take either cure, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, get that sorted. If anybody's belonging to Robert Smith, I'm not, despite my name. Give him a shout. Let him know we'd like him to come on the podcast. That would be excellent.
It would. And also, speaking of excellent things, if you've enjoyed this episode, then please make sure you are subscribing wherever you're listening to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Acast, wherever. Click that subscribe button. Give us a rate, a like where possible as well, or all helps, and share it with all your fantastic friends. Put in your Instagram stories. Tweet about it.
Please.
It helps. It helps a lot. And we would love you very, 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 very much.
Very much, yes. And while sharing our stuff on socials, use the hashtag let the music play as well this week, so the government can see that we're all really, really want to do gigs again.
Yes, when it's safe too. And while you're checking things out, of course, we would appreciate you heading over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. As I mentioned earlier, we've built a lovely community. We're really shocked each and every week of how wonderful it is. The people in there are some of our favourite humans as ever, and we'd love you to come and see what it's all about.
Yes. So, here's where we normally thank the elite members of our Patreon, the upper tiers of our Patreon, because they get a mention on the podcast. If you are not a Patreon, you won't understand this, but last week in the group, somebody posted a meme that said, change all the vowels in your name to oodle, right? So mine would be soodle oodlen, right? That's Sean, right? So imagine how annoying that is. That's just one name, right? So if you're not part of the Patreon group, you might want to turn off now, because I'm going to have to name loads of bloody names, and they've changed all of the vowels to oodle. After I specifically said I wasn't going to fucking do this. So, bastards, here we go. As always, thank you very, very much to these people. I love you. I genuinely do love you. But this is going to fucking drive me mental, and I hate this. Okay. Thank you very much to Dana Lasnova, Mayumi Liwaway, Kailoodle... Oodle, Woodle, Oodle, Oodler, Mitch Perry, Oodle Me, Choodle, Voodlers, Emma Barber, Oodle Noodle, Oodle, Coodle, Stoodle, Dun. Oh, for fuck. Amadine Urbano, thank you. Julius Caesar Styles, thank you. Nathan Croshaw, thank you. Coodle Lely, Yoodle, Oodleng. And then another one, Doodle Lely, Groodle Moodle, Woodle Oodled. Oh my god, I'm like, I hate this, Morg. Oh, I've turned off by now, definitely. Mo Dix, Eyebrows Know What You Did in the Dark, Michael Engler, Liam Connolly, Kelly Irwin, Paul Hirschfield, Tom Owen, Doug Sir Swish Reamer. Nice, that's a basketball reference. Kate Puttock, Scoodlet, Joodle Noodles. Scott Jones, Simon Amos, oh, here we go, Oliver Amesbury changed his name to Oodle Loodle Voodler, Loodle E Doodly Moodle Boodlesler, Boodlery, fucking, I hate my life, Joodle Noodle Moodle Stoodle, I can't believe, why, what, oh my god, alive, this is karma coming, I must have done something awful that I've blocked out, man.
Come on, Sean. Have. You can get through this. I believe in you.
All right, then. Cool. Kate Stevenson, Lucy Deans, Martina McManus, John and Emma, Erin Auer, Coodley Lely, Moodle Loodlery, fucking Kelly Tyra, Kieran Lewis, Louis Cook. Thanks again to Louis Cook, Marcy Jacobson, Mike Cunningham, Sarah Stewart, Jamie or Amy. He's changed his name to. Congratulations to Amy Thomas and Jamie, who have recently had a baby and are part of the Patreon group. Well, not congratulations for being part of the Patreon group, but congratulations on the baby you've made. Unbelievable. Good work, both of you. Thank you very much to Sandra Kuacek. Sean can't wait to rub backs with strangers at a record store. It makes his tummy feel fizzy. James McNaught, Livy Cropper, Soodle Roodle, Joodle Moodles, and in brackets she's written, sorry, Sean. That's because Sarah was the original meme poster. the bitch. Kelly Emma Cannon, Amy O'Jamie. See what they've done?
Ah.
Clever. Congratulations again. Tallulah Grant, Samuel Griffiths, Stuart McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Jenny Robertson, Tony Michael, Nuala Clark, not spelled correctly, Jordan Burchard, Becky Andy, Shanye West, Keris Andrews, and last but not least, the mighty Sharif Awadali. Thank you very much to all of those people. Also, a big fuck you to all of them. Changed oodle into the vowels. Ah!
I just, how did they imagine that would sound? Because I that's something.
Well, they probably saw their own names, because your own names look silly, don't they?
Yeah.
But then when you have a plonker who's got to read them all out, right, who sounds like he's constantly got a mouthful of soup anyway, it's gonna be a mess.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry for that, but also please don't do that again.
Yes, but thank you very much to everyone involved in our wonderful community and our Patreon. Anyway, if you're still listening, head over to patreon.com/sapnin. And again, a massive thank you to everyone in the description of this episode as well, because there's loads of other names for the Patreon that we'd like to thank in there. So go and give that a read. Sean, is there anything else you would like to mention while we have this platform now?
Just be nice to each other, be kind. Yeah, let's just keep trying to progress till everyone's cool and everyone's having a good time, because I am sick of seeing people not having a good time.
Same here. But speaking of good times, we've got something a little bit secret coming up over on our social media pages in the next couple of weeks as well, about an announcement about some of the work we've been very busy doing. So
But what you've done there is you've waited until we've weeded out all of the listeners with the names, and then you've written that. You should have entered that.
This is how secret it is, Sean. That's how secret it is. It's here now.
The four people who were left listening on the Patreon. Yeah, and now like, ooh. But yeah, thanks again to everyone. Thanks for listening to this. Please rate, share, subscribe, tell a friend, tell an enemy. And yeah, we appreciate you very, very much. And we will see you next Friday.
Yes, thanks again to State Champs. Thanks for everyone. Thanks for being super tidy, super awesome, fragilist, but guess be allidocious.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Sapnin! There, we talk some shit, don't we?
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.